I cried and I cried until I found the Lord my soul.
I just my soul, my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord my soul.
I just my soul, my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord.
Then, Lord, I moan and I moan.
I moan until I found the Lord my soul.
I just could be content to my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord my soul.
My soul, to my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord. And Lord, I cried and I cried. I cried all night long. I cried and I cried until I found the Lord my soul.
I just couldn't be content to my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord my soul.
My soul, to my Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord. Until I found the Lord. Until I found the Lord.
Lay him in the tomb.
lay him in the tomb.
Didn't they
lay him in the tomb?
Him in the tomb.
Laid him in the tomb.
Well, they
laid him in the tomb.
My Lord.
And he never said a mumbling word. He just hung his head and died. The good Lord, he just hung his head and died. The good Lord, he just
children are coming up. I want to say, how about giving another hand to the Mackeys? Come on, hey. That was great. It was beautiful. Something great. Come on, children. Come on. This is for children, education at the academy. So come on down.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yeah, come on down, children, so you can hear this children's story. Is that all of them? Okay. You know, some of you have asked me today, why am I wearing just dark glasses? And you know, while some of you were here with the Carlisle family and our church family Thursday, I was in Mission Hills getting our surgery. So I had surgery in my eyes, and the lights are kind of bugging me, so the doctor gave me these dark glasses, so that's why I'm wearing them. I know some of you thought it was part of the story, but it's not. So anyway, my stories are always short, and they always start with a Bible verse. And the Bible verse for today is, if you have friends, make yourself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. Okay, and the title of this story is, Today I Feel Friendly. And this is about a group of boys, but especially two boys. And the youngest one, his name was Bill Jones, a 9-year-old boy.
Testing, testing. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank our dynamic praise team and musicians. I said dynamic. Praise the Lord for their service unto God. Today we just want to visit briefly, and I'm not trying to rush to get out to the park, I promise you. But we just have a word from the Lord. We've already been blessed today, amen? If you can get your Bibles and turn very quickly to Romans 8:28, very familiar passage. Just want to touch on it today. Some of you know it by heart, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Yeah, there we go on the screen. Depending on your version, Apostle Paul writes, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. Amen. I want to speak just a little while on the providence of God, the providence of God. Let's pray. Father, we have been blessed already just sitting in the midst of your presence and praising the Lord and allowing our cares to dissipate, bringing our problems to the altar in prayer by our elder, Lord, and laying our burdens down, offering ourselves unto thee, asking for forgiveness, Lord, and cleansing. And knowing that you're there, you're all-powerful, and you love us so much, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that as I open up your word, this strong word, this word from you, that your people may be receptive and really understand the meaning of what your word is saying, Lord. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips and forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever been swimming? I remember me and my cousin, who his name is Van, we went out to Southern California. They were out visiting, and we didn't know anything about body surfing and surfing, period. And so I knew how to swim, but we didn't have enough sense to know not to get in the water and try to body surf. And, you know, the waves weren't that big, but they were four or five-foot waves down in the beach in L.A. But there was a yellow flag out there that we didn't realize was there. And, you know, yellow means warning, right? And it was warning us that there were riptides. And you know what riptides are. They will take you and drag you under and take you back out into the ocean. And we noticed that nobody was in the water. We said, oh, man, we got this. We got it by ourselves. We got all this water out here. And so we were there and charging toward the water. You know, I'm from Bakersfield. He's from Texas. And no water around us. So we charging toward the sea. jumping in the water, and the flag just, you know, the reason why the flag was, it was warning people don't get in the water. There's riptides. You know, so here we go in the water trying to body surf. And those waves, both of us got hit by those waves, and we could have easily had a terrible neck injury. I mean, it could have easily happened. The waves take you under, and I was all up under the water. Sand was in my eyes, my mouth, and everything. And finally, it lifted us up, and we just was panting for water and gasping for air and swimming back to shore. And I believe somebody brought it to our attention. My wife brought it to attention. You guys, there's a flag over there, and it means it's riptides. You're not supposed to be in the water. But, I thought about that analogy because sometimes I know that life is like that. You know, it will get you so down sometime. You will just be tumbling and tumbling underwater, and sometimes your finances get to the point where you just can't seem to get air. You think you got a free paycheck, and then something else comes up. A car breaks down, a refrigerator breaks, some relative needs money, somebody's in college, somebody's homeless, and your money ever go. It just seems like it's one thing after another. You know, it may be a tragedy, it may be a physical illness, it may be a relationship breakup, it may be your job is fired, it may be your children having problems. It may be your finances in trouble. Could be one or 100 other things. But it just seems like things tend to go up and down. And that's why it's important to know how to survive during those down times. During those down times. And that's what the word I want to talk about, providence, today. Those times when we're going through difficulties and providence, one guy, Spurgeon, that's his name. He's Spurgeon. He was a great preacher. He described providence like a wheel. You know, the wheel is used in the Bible, and Ezekiel uses a wheel in a wheel. And he describes providence as being like a wheel. Sometimes you're up, but sometimes you're down. Sometimes there's good times, you're on a roll. Sometimes that paycheck seems to go a little longer than others. And then there are times when the paycheck is short. There's sometimes we're in optimum health. We feel good, we're strong. And then other times our body breaks down with sickness and illness and we're down, the wheel is down. So life is like that wheel. Providence is similar to that wheel. Providence, divine providence. What is providence? Providence indicates God's care and supervision of all things from the moment of creation until eternity. Pro, meaning before, pro, and video, meaning to see. Providence means to see before. That means that God sees before and he plans accordingly. Providence means that God didn't just create the world and walk away and leave it. He didn't leave us like winding up a clock and then letting it wind down. He's not an absentee God. God is in control of every moment in our lives. Now, this doesn't mean that we are puppets on a string. We make decisions, and we are responsible for those decisions. But God is so great, he is so mighty, and he is sovereign. He is so great that he weaves together the choices of millions of human beings and waves of cause and effect, and then he blends them to be his purpose. God is in control. He uses natural processes to accomplish his will. You know, I don't understand everything about foreknowledge and predestination and free will and all that stuff. But I do know this. With my limited human intelligence, I know that God is with me. He wants me to seek his will, and he wants me to follow him. He wants us to follow him. The aim of the Christian life isn't what we do for God, but it's conforming to the image of Christ. It's not so much the what we're going through. It's God wants us to develop into his image, and he does this through a process. He does this through a process. And the process is painful sometimes. The process is painful sometimes. Let me just talk about providence a little more. God's ongoing activity in the world. God sustains and guides the natural order of things on a moment-by-moment basis. There is no place in the biblical view for the absentee Lord landlord of deism. God never takes a vacation. Amen? Amen. Never takes a vacation. It is direct divine power that maintains the universe. The Bible says in Nehemiah 9:6, thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and thou preservest all of them. God's role in sustaining this universe, not only this tiny little earth we live in, but the whole universe he's controlled. And many times we want to put God in a box. We love putting God in a tiny little box. And we do this. All religions do this. My God believes this. He believes this. This is my little box. And then the Baptists believe this. This is our little box right here. And then the Adventists have their little box too. This is our God. And he doesn't go outside this. He's in that little box. And if you're not in that little box, you're not going to be saved. You know, everybody has their little box. The Catholics, the Muslims, Islam, got their little boxes. But God is so much bigger. Amen? And I know one thing, just like the wheel, just like I was describing the wheel, the problems that we're going through, sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. There's one thing in that wheel, and some of you mechanics know this. There's one thing that attaches to a wheel that's constant. Anybody know what that is? Somebody said it, axle. It's the axle, the axle. And guess what? The axle never moves. That axle is constant. The wheel revolves around the axle, you know, changes. We're up and down, but that axle is constant. God and God's, what's constant about God is his love toward us. We don't understand it. John says, behold, what kind of love is this? That we have a privilege to be called the sons and daughters of God. Sinful and wretched and selfish as we are, he calls us sons and daughters of God. What a mighty God we serve. His love is constant. I thank God for his love. We can't put him in a box. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. What does that mean? Paul is not saying that whatever happens to a Christian is good. He's not saying that. A lot of bad things happen to Christians. Paul's not saying that God works out things for our comfort, our convenience, our health, our wealth. Paul is not saying that things work out for the best or that things will work out good. But if you look at this verse, you can't take it out of context, Dan. You got to go back in Romans 8th chapter. Remember, if we go back into Romans 8, let's look at verses 8:18. Let's go back before that verse. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then if you look at verse 35 through 39, Paul says, the one thing that's constant here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's powerful. That's powerful. That should give you confidence. It doesn't matter whether your father or your mother loved you or not. You have a God that nothing can separate you from his love. That's just his character, is love. He's not interested in what we do. He's interested in the developing process that we go through. He's trying to make us into his image, so he sends us through changes sometimes. Sometimes the bad works out for good in God's eyesight. In fact, there is no bad with God. The bad works out for the good with him. That's divine providence. That's divine care. Everything that happens to us, you know, Satan can't do any. I wish we would stop getting scared of the devil. It has to go by God first. Everything has to go by God first. You know, I don't stress myself. I'm not afraid. Look, you know, if God allowed it to happen, it was supposed to happen. Don't stress yourself. Divine providence. God is interested in the process, trying to develop us into his character. I remember David was called a man after God's own heart. Yet he started off as a shepherd boy and anointed to be king. God anointed him to be king, and yet Saul was still king. In the process of time, David became king, but not before his years in the wilderness when he was fleeing from Saul. That fleeing period in the wilderness, God was developing him. God was interested in the process, not just with David becoming king. God was developing David, even the Apostle Paul. Paul writes in Philippians, the first chapter, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all of the palace and all other places. In verse 14 of Philippians 1, says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul here was under house arrest. He was chained to a Roman soldier when he wrote these words. He wasn't wallowing in self-pity. He didn't think that God had forgotten about him. Paul realized that the will of God was for now. Paul saw the providence of God in his future. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. Then you have another example of God's providence, how he develops in the story of Joseph, Genesis the 50th chapter. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, this is Joseph, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. He dealt with Joseph there. And even after being sold into slavery by his own brothers, God had his eye on Joseph. And in the big picture, God had another plan. He took that bad experience, Joseph's prison life, being down in the ground in that hole, and allowed him to become king and ruler of a nation and save his own family and a nation. It's the way he works. He allows bad things to happen for his good. the kind of God that we serve. So I got a homework assignment for you. You go home, take a sheet of paper, and list all the things in life that you feel you have been wrong. You got a bad rap on. Maybe you lost your job. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody, all list all those things. Poverty, handicap. Maybe you broke your arm. You can't walk. You had a stroke, whatever. All those bad things. List them on one side of the paper, and then on the other side of the paper, write, God meant it for good. Each one, right, God meant it for good. The bad things, the good times, the ups and the downs. God takes everything in the context and he mixes it all together and he brings it out for good in your life. God meant it for your good. And I hope our message is stuck in our minds today. We're going to close right now. As I think about God's providence, even in my own life, how he controls things, I never would have thought I would be back in Bakersfield preaching. And this is a personal testimony of God's providence, how he knows the beginning from the end. He knew all about it. He knew years ago when I was going to church here that one day, Ed, I'd be standing up here preaching. I wouldn't have believed him, and I would have thought, God, no, come on. No, not me. Gerald, maybe Edwin, Ricky, one of you guys, not me, you know. But he saw years ago, Ed, when we were running around here as children, that one day I got something for this boy to do. No, it ain't physical therapy. I'm going to take him out of physical therapy, and I'm going to put him in my work. I'm going to make him suffer a little bit. He got a little bit too easy. I'm going to make him suffer a little bit. I'm going to take him through some things, but I got a plan for him. I got another plan for him because he's sovereign like that. He's in control of like that. He allows some things to happen. But in the big picture, it's for his good. It may be for one person that God wants saved, one person in your family that he wants saved. He may put you through a lifetime of misery to save that one person. When I say lifetime, this life is short. You know, we live 70, 80 years, 90 years if we're lucky. If we're lucky. So like Paul, he says, set your mind on things above and not the things of this earth. When he comes, I just want him to say, well done. Steve, just well done. You did the job that I wanted you to do. Now come on in and inherit my kingdom and live forever. Amen. Don't you want to hear those words today? God being satisfied with the way, with the things he has given you. Some of us are going to really appreciate heaven because we have been through so much hell down here. Some of us are really going to appreciate it. Why experience hell down here and then be lost? Experience hell on your way to heaven. You know, just it's okay. It's worth it. Whatever you're going through, it's worth it. And what do we have to do? Submit. Submit. There's nothing much for us to do, although we try to work ourselves in. We want to work ourselves in. We want to preach our way in. We want to deacon our way in. We want to elder our way in, a Bible work our way in. There's nothing much we can do but accept the righteousness of Christ. Just accept him. Say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. That is so simple. But the devil makes it seem so difficult. So all to Jesus, I surrender. You remember that song? All to him, I truly give all to Jesus. It's just a matter of surrendering. Devil makes you think, boy, it's just the hardest thing in the world. You're not worthy. No, Satan, I'm worthy. Because nothing can separate me from his love. Doesn't matter what I've done. So I don't know. I want to say, don't think about it too hard. But, yeah, maybe I want to say that. Just don't think about it too hard. Just surrender. Give it up to him. That's all. We're going to take a moment, and I'm going to let the Spirit speak to you today. And if there's one thing that my professors told me at Oakwood, listen, you're always give an appeal. I know Ella Cleveland, you ain't preached a sermon until you gave an appeal. Of course, he was one of the greatest evangelists that our church has ever had, Ella E.E. Cleveland. I wish I could preach like that, boy. E.E. could preach. He could baptize them, too. E.E. Cleveland. He says, Mackie, you always have an appeal at the end. Never preach a sermon without having an appeal. And he's right. This is the part where I sit back and let the Holy Ghost move. I don't know what number that is. I surrender all. If we can get that on the screen, we're just going to sing a little bit of that. There we go. It's an old song, but I like it. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. His prayer. Oh, I surrender all. Don't think about it too hard or you won't do it. I surrender. Savior, I surrender. Let's do that one more time. Let's do that one more time. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, I surrender all. Yes. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Praise the Lord. Let's just pause for a moment. Bow your heads with me. Does anyone in the house need to surrender right now? I'm going to step out of the way and let the Holy Ghost take control right now. Work on your hearts. Come on down. Join this church. You want Bible studies. You want prayer. You want baptism. Just come on down, and our Bible workers will give you instruction. Pray, church. This is a time we need to pray. And visit with us, Holy Spirit. Visit with us now. Change some hearts, Lord. Even now. Knowing that you love us with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from that great love in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. If you'd like to make that decision, you could even see one of the Bible workers after church today. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything you've done on this holy Sabbath day. We pray and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.